Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, DIY SOS, it is back. The Big Build Ireland, the show that rebuilds people's lives by rebuilding their homes. It's back for a second season. And Chief Motivator, is that your title, Chief Motivator?
I'm called many things, but I'll go with Chief Motivator. Chief Motivator. Sounds much better than
a lot of
the usual.
Baz Ashmary is back in front of the camera. He's presenting. He joins me in studio. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's going really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great to have this back. What a show.
It's a mad show. It's a do you know what? I feel really bad because people come up to me on the street and they're like, oh my God, what you do is amazing. It's great. What all the things, like it's, I do
nothing.
Literally.
Yeah.
I, you as a presenter will know, I lean on walls. I do a lot of chatting. I eat a lot of breakfast rolls. But like the volunteers, what they do, this one that's coming out on Sunday, like they built an entire house for that family. For the Aylwards.
How long have you got?
10 days.
Wow.
10 days. They built. You know yourself, it takes like 10 months to get a plumber. Now, I won't have anything. Won't have anything bad said about plumbers because I need them all. But like in general, like it's just amazing to watch it happen in front of you.
Is it the same crew as season one?
It's same as in same.
Same team?
Same team, yeah. Different volunteers, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It's half community and then it's half these mad people who just come from every corner of Ireland. They just hear, like Johnny had motor neuron disease. So I knew nothing about it, Jen. I knew nothing about motor neuron. But like there's two types, right? And one is you could have it for 10 years and the other type is massively aggressive. You've got like a year or two.
Wow.
And it starts with paralysis in the leg, moves to the arms, you lose your voice. So then you're kind of trapped inside yourself into someone, and then the diaphragm, and then once the diaphragm goes, you're gone. And you know, like there's that fear as an emotion is overwhelming. It's very powerful, but then I think having hope, and a lot of the times with a lot of the families on the show, there's a sense of hope. You know, a sense of things can get better and things can get easier. Like with Johnny, it's different because that kind of hope is gone. The realism is it's a terminal illness. But I suppose the positive of it is you're going to build a house for his family. So his last time is going to be spent in this beautiful place.
Legacy, yeah.
And when he's gone, that peace of mind to know that my kids and my family and my wife, they're all going to be okay, is very sweet. It's very...
A lot of pressure, though.
It's a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure. Dealing with something like that. I mean, that's life-changing
but
stuff.
But me and I fell in love with him. Like he's gas. Like I'll
tell
you. I don't really drink, right? I gave it up years ago. But I went for a drink with him and at one stage. And then he wanted me to go drinking again. And I was like, Johnny, I'm not going. He went, go on, I'm dying. And I was like, you can't say that to me.
You can't use
I'm dying.
Like,
you know what I mean? Yeah, but this is, he was just such a positive person.
With a sense of humour.
Like really good sense of humour. So you learn, when you're around these people, you learn a lot about family and resilience and dignity and what's important. And these all sound like really corny things, but when you watch the show, you'll watch it and you'll just grab one of your kids and you'll just pull them in a little bit tighter.
But we need shows like this, especially now with the news and everything is bad news and everything's quite negative at the moment.
Yeah.
We're talking about fuel prices and we're talking about the, you know, the war is horrific and all that. These shows are so needed to restore our faith in humanity, really.
Absolutely.
And to be introduced to people like this who are in the face of adversity and horrific things going on in their life, have a sense of humour.
There's a girl I was working with on one of the shows, Laura Sheridan, right? She got Hodgkin's lymphoma. To me, she's a kid. She's in her early 30s, right? She's two young boys who have autism and they are beautiful, like stunning children, but wild as goats. They will jump off the top of the banisters. They will climb up on top of windowsills. They will jump. They have no fear and they get a thrill from it. They have to be monitored 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
This girl was dealing with stage four chemo and running after these boys day and night. And she also has another little girl, you know, and then you kind of go through these stages of complaining about how hard you have things. It's natural to do it. Mm-hmm. Do you know, it's natural to be like that. It's natural to sit around and go, I've got to do the school run, I've got to bring her for piano, I've got to make sandwiches again. You know, and then you meet another woman, and Glenn and Jen, and they have a child who's peg fed, non-verbal, can't walk, can't crawl, and they, you know, he gets stomach cramps and they have to rub him and he only sleeps for 15, 20 minutes at a time.
Wow.
And do you know what they'd pay to be making him school sandwiches? So it's, I think, like, I'm not saying this in a preachy way, I'm just saying it in a, we all get like that and you're entitled to feel overwhelmed and you're entitled to listen to news and think things are bad. But when you see these families, that's one thing. But when you see these volunteers, these heroes who just don't look like heroes, you know, they're painters and decorators and you know, the chefs and ladies, and you know, they're everyday people, and it does give you a little sense of thank God there's good people out there.
There's,
you know,
loads of them.
There's
Baz.
Loads of them.
There's,
I know,
loads. We,
I
talk
know,
about them all the time on the show, especially I just mentioned Ukraine there, and just the good people of Ireland, what they've done for the humanitarian crisis. We spoke to a guy yesterday who is restoring bikes so kids can get to school.
Amazing,
we, you know, people who are driving van loads of stuff over to the border. Just more of that. We need to hear more of that, because it's very bleak. And like you said, it's great to go out. Get out of our little boxes and go out and see, geez, some great people out there.
Yeah,
there's loads of them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What's it like presenting? What's it like going through that whole process and at the end of the project and you present the finished build to the family? What's that
I
like?
I feel bad for I get to walk them around the house and I get to see their reaction, and they're all like, thank you, Baz. I'm like, it's grand. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'll have Kerry.
Do you wear a tubel just to make it look like you've done something?
I do. You'll notice, if you watch the show, you'll notice I walk into most scenes with a tool.
Ooh.
But I don't know how to use any of them. I don't know what they're called. But I get to see their reaction, and it's pretty amazing. You know, they're very old. Do you know what's weird is, it's hard for someone to receive kindness sometimes. Like, a lot of people are, we're proud people, you know, and sometimes for like 200 or 300, like, they open their front door of their new house and there's 300 faces looking at them. And they're just like, it's very hard. Or like, what do you say to that? What do you say to someone who's just built you a house? Like, what do you say to them? You know,
there's a lot of pressure because we don't like being complimented, and we don't like, we don't know what to do when someone does something nice for us.
I feel for them. I feel how hard it is for them, because, like, you know, it can be very difficult. But that's the volunteers. That's what they want. That's their payoff, is just to see them happy and see them come out of the house.
Somebody just texted saying, I'm so happy DIY SOS is back. It is literally my favourite show on television. Always makes me cry.
I think people, some of them say that to me before. It's gone, God, every time I watch that, I just bawl. And I'm like, maybe you need that. Maybe just a small part of us somewhere that just needs a bit of a cry. Every episode, I say to the director, this is the one. A rock. I'm going to be a rock on this one. I've watched the other fellow over in the UK. This one, I'm steel. Yeah. Nothing's going to crack me. And every episode, I'm behind some JCB. give me a minute. I'm just too soft for it.
Good
I'm
on
just
you.
So wimpy, you know.
But this is your second series now. Surely you've picked up some DIY.
I like crittle doors.
Sorry?
Crittle doors.
Go on.
Kerry Hiddleston taught me all about this. She's one of the designers. Crittle doors are these lovely slimline doors with the tapes. I like them. That's my word of the week. Crittle doors.
Crittle doors.
Yeah.
Do you do stuff around the house? Like, because we're talking about DIY earlier on. We had an expert in, because myself and producer need to realise we're useless. Like, if we got a flat tyre or we need to change a plug or paint our gaffs or whatever, would you be hands on? Would you just call someone in?
I call Tanya.
Ah, yeah. She'd do it.
She's like Mrs. Doyle. I have her with bricks on her back, pulling out the bins. She's. I'd only do it wrong. I'd only make a mess of it. Sure.
What is that your excuse?
Well, like, do you know what I mean? You can't have it all. People would be jealous. But I'm just not handy like that. I just don't. I painted my house once, like 10 years ago, and I remember Tanya saying, "Do you not get a sense of satisfaction?" No, I don't get a sense of satisfaction from it. It was a pain in the backside, is what it was. So
that's an excuse. Apparently, you just have to read.
Read
you're
what?
Good at that. The back of the tin of paint.
No.
Okay.
I just don't get it. I just, but I wish I was gifted like that. I'm just not.
Somebody texted in saying, hi, Jen, just listen to Baz saying that he doesn't do much on the build. We worked on the house in Kilkenny. And every time Baz was around, he lifted everyone's spirits. He's a very positive and very open person. No good on a building site, but great for morale from the Cork roofers.
I see. Do you know what? Cletus, there was a lad, there was one of the lads from Cork, and he had the best mullet I've ever seen in my life.
So
the boys all call him Cletus because he looks like something from the deep south, you know, like
the mullet's making a comeback.
Yeah, well, this lad was rocking it. You'll see him in it. Good. Yeah, he's great.
I can't wait to see that. How's the family? How's everyone?
Everyone's really good. It's actually, do you know what? It's Amelia's 18th today.
Stop it.
Yeah, my little baby. So
did
Amelia,
you buy her a car?
Did I buy her a car, Jen?
Come on.
Jen, you just ruined a surprise now. I'll have to bring the car back and think of something else to give her 18th. But it's her 18th, so I better say happy birthday, Amelia.
Happy birthday, Amelia.
Yeah.
And is she interested in driving? Is the car lessons or anything? Is that
not yet.
Okay.
No.
How old were you when you started driving?
17.
Yeah, I think we were a lot younger. We were talking about first cars this morning. What was your first car?
Micra.
Lovely.
Yeah, it wasn't.
How did you
I'm
fit
very big
a
for a micro. It looked like a comedy scene. So my knees kind of underneath my ears and a little steering wheel between my crotch. And I used to drive this little car. And then one day, like I said to you, I found out that the girls in the shop near where I lived used to refer to me as Mr. Microman. And I was very hurt by that. I thought of all the things they remember me for, the fact that it was a Micra upset me. But there you go. That was my first car. And I loved it.
Listen, the fond memories, people. I had a lad on, he's hoping to track down his first car because he wants to buy it back because he loved it so much.
Yeah.
You just have those fond memories of your first car and bashing it around the place and things you got. It was like your first sign of freedom, wasn't it?
Do you remember? Do you want a lift? Like you just anywhere. I'll just drive you anywhere you want to go.
Absolutely. I have a car. I can take you. That's no problem. You're flat out. So you have Amelia's birthday.
Yeah.
You're also climbing Croagh Patrick this weekend.
I am. Yeah. We're doing that for a climb with Charlie for the motor neuron disease and Pieta House. So, do you know, Carl Henry was on to me and he was like, how's your training going? I was like, shut up, Carl. No one wants to hear that from you. I haven't trained at all. So I'm going
to
be swinging.
Train?
Well, like, I look at me. I probably could have done with a couple of walks at the weekend or something, you know, but I haven't done a whole lot. But
listen to me, I saw you on Instagram. Like, you were flat out in the gym a while ago. You sure did?
Yeah,
Is that a different thing, though?
Just not consistent. Are you consistent?
I am, yeah.
Oh, that's why you look like that.
Very consistent.
I'm just not consistent at all.
But
I go through stages.
You've lots
I went
on.
This morning.
Good on you.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Thank you.
So the show, listen, always a pleasure to have you in.
Listen,
thank you so much.
Million.
When's it on? Where can people see it?
Sunday, 6:30, RT1. Trust me, watch this one about Johnny Aylward and motor neuron disease and all the great volunteers. It's one of my favourite shows of DIY SOS that we've ever done. I think you'll absolutely love it, you know?
Thanks, Baz.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.